Blog Talk Radio.
From the San Francisco Bay Area, it's time for Live from the Bay with Joe. Stay tuned. What can one say about a Grammy and Dove Award winning singer and songwriter that hails from the first family of country gospel music, the daughter of legendary gospel great Dottie Rambo, except for amazing? Her origins go back to those hills of Kentucky, and she has been singing ever since she can remember. At the young age of 13, she starts to travel, record, and tour with her mother and father, Buck and Dottie Rambo. Later, in the 1970s, she starts her own solo career touching the contemporary Christian music market with her unique, vibrant, and soulful sounds that are a hybrid of country meets soul with a modern twist. She goes on to tour with Andre Crouch and so continues to make a significant mark within the contemporary music market. Many years later, after her great songwriting award, she continues weaving music. Her marriage to singer, songwriter, pastor Donnie McGuire has also been legendary. Their children, Dion, Destiny, and Israel, follow in the family tradition with a heart for God and for music. All the way from Nashville, Tennessee, would you please help me welcome on Live from the Bay with Joey, Reba Rambo McGuire. Reba's in the house, folks. How are you doing?
I am doing terrific. I am doing so. If I was any better, I'd be dangerous.
I want to know, how's the weather there in Nashville? Because we have, right here in California, we're blessed to have sunny, warm weather right now in Northern California. So, and I know you're familiar with the area. You've been here many times. But what's the weather like there?
Well, we don't have what you have right now.
No?
We have, it's kind of sprinkling a bit of snow, which we haven't had snow this year, really.
Mm-hmm.
We may get a little bit tonight, but it's cold and kind of overcast.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? Nashville is still one of the most beautiful cities on the planet and some of the greatest people in the world and one of the friendliest large cities I've ever been to. That's why when we, you know, many years ago decided we wanted to make our home somewhere we weren't sure, I am so thrilled that we ended up in this city because it's really the best of both worlds. We have all kinds of theater and the arts, but we
mm-hmm.
also got cornbread and grits,
mm-hmm.
and we've got land and farms. So it's perfect for us. But I love San Francisco area. Beautiful. And I could stand some clam chowder and some of those fried clams from the wharf about now.
That's great. Well, and you know what? I have fond memories of Nashville, too, because when I was pretty young, I was, and this is the early 80s, so, you know, I was like in my early 20s. The first album I did was on the Murata record label, and that was out in Nashville. And then, of course,
uh-huh.
being a songwriter involved with CSAC, which is also out of Nashville. So to start this interview, I have some questions and some things that I'm going to be bringing up today. I'm going to make you think, but let's just start. I want to know, and I'm sure the listeners want to know, what's your fondest memory as a child?
You know, Joy, some of my fondest memories are, you know, we were raised in the hills of Kentucky. and in a little community right outside of Dawson Springs. I was actually raised in Walnut Grove, Kentucky, population 36. But we were outside this little community of Dawson Springs with about 3,500 people. And what I love, some of my earliest memories besides our old country church was on Friday nights especially. My parents would, it was just a thing that would happen. It would be a jam session. And those musicians would come out of the hills and the hollers with their banjos, their guitars, their juice harp, whatever they had, or just their song. And we would gather in the house, if it was cold, but if it was decent at all, we were out on the porch and in the yard, and people would come from all over the place to hear this sound. And I remember as a little girl, when I would get sleepy, laying on a pallet, my mother would fold up a patchwork quilt, and I'd lay there and listen until I'd fall asleep. So, and just loved it, and it was so organic and authentic. And from that environment, you know, it's when Mother really, really began writing songs. And honestly, when I sang my first song, you know, when I was 18 months on the radio, I sang "When the Saints Go Marching In." But, you know, that was a performance. but it was, you know, it was just part of the fiber of my being. I started singing harmonies when I was three, so. It's just been, you know, it is in my DNA, it's in my blood, and I love it. But there's something about that sound I really gravitate to, even though I love everything from opera to Grand Ole Opera. But I really love that sound, and to hear those people sing their passion. I mean, the voices had such authenticity and passion. Absolutely. And I remember just being so moved even as a child by that. So music, I mean, it is, I have a soundtrack to my life. It started very early, and I love that. I just love it.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah, and that's obviously evident for anybody that's heard your family music, the Rambos, all the way back. That's very evident in the sound, and even the sounds that we're going to hear moving forward here that we're going to be talking about today. So, but I also want to know, is this about the time when this, and you've got to talk to me about this, what's this thing with an invisible dog? Did you have an invisible dog growing up?
Well, let me say this. I have always, you know, I'm an only child.
Like me.
Yeah, I'm an only child, and I always had this amazing imagination, very reminiscent of my mother, of course. But growing up, being alone a lot, because my parents were gone, and I would stay with grandparents or an aunt and uncle, and I just, you know, to me, it was just, and my invisible dog was named Germs. Germs. And the reason probably it was named Germs is my mother, as we say in Kentucky, she is one of those nasty, nice people. In other words, everything is Pine Sol, Lysol, every kind of salt. She had a thing about clean. You know, we were dirt poor, but we didn't have dirt. Because she just was one of those people that she, you know, and I love that about her. But she was such a perfectionist, and my biggest goal in life, especially when I was young, was to please my mother. So I wanted to be the perfect child, and I wasn't because I was a kid. But if Mother would come into my room and it was messy or whatever, or if I'd come home from school and the ribbons were out of my hair and I had dirt on my dress and whatever, I would look at her and say, "Mommy, I didn't do that. Germs did it." Because Germs was the scapegoat, if you will, the scape dog, I guess, for any kind of behavior that I thought wasn't perfect. I would blame everything that I did that wasn't perfect on Germs. And to me, it was true. I mean, he was as real to me as this phone I'm holding. And he went with me everywhere. He could fit into my pocket. I took him to school. He was just so real. And sometimes it would be, you know, kind of okay. But I remember one day, a quick story. It was a Sunday afternoon, and Mom was laying down resting on the couch. And the pastor's wife called and said, "Daddy, I'm going to be there in just a few minutes with some of the ladies who are dropping by." That was when people just dropped by. And the living room was a mess. Dad was off somewhere. And I remember Mother, you know, we went into combat mode of gathering up stuff and getting the little house ready there for the pastor's wife. And we're throwing things together, and all of a sudden Mother's got that vacuum cleaner. And I look, and to me, she has just vacuumed Germs up in the vacuum cleaner. So I'm crying, saying, "Mommy, Mommy, Mommy, Germs is in the vacuum cleaner."
Oh, that's fun.
Germs. And she's going, Rita Ferrambo, I don't have time for this. The ladies are on the way. And I'm squalling. I mean, I'm having a temper tantrum and turning blue and purple and everything else. Until Mom finally opened up the vacuum cleaner, you know, and germs to me jumped out into my arms. And but it that's how real he was to me. Of course, then Mother later on, anything can become a song with my mother, anything. There was nothing sacred. I don't care what happened in life, it could be a song. So later on, years later, she, of course, wrote the adorable song, Germs, My Invisible Dog. But that was about my dog and true stories that happened with Germs.
That's amazing. And one thing I just learned today, that you're an only child. I'm an only child. Your birthday wouldn't happen to be in October, would it?
It is. October
17th.
Mine
is too. It's when?
Yeah, October 17th.
And I'm the 24th. So, wow, that is awesome. So, you know, Reba, moving forward, I want people to hear a song that you wrote and made famous, shall we? And folks, this song is called, and I really like this song, and you'll see why. It's called The Land of Oohs and Ahs.
Behind me,
Reba, being that you were a key part of one of the first families of gospel music, the Rambos, growing up, what was that like?
Well, honestly, when I was little, it was very tough because they were gone a lot. And I didn't want to be a part of the singing group. I wanted to be a neurosurgeon because when I was little and my parents traveled in churches, you know, that was the day that you had these things called evangelistic quarters, and they were in the basement of churches, and they were nasty. And I thought, you know what, that's great for you, Mom and Dad. And I always had this built-in knowing that they were doing what they were supposed to do. But I was just like, you know, I want to be a surgeon. So they were gone a lot. But then, you know, God kind of tricked me. I was 12, almost 13, and the girl that had been singing with them left kind of suddenly, and they quickly hired another girl named Pat. And she was an alto, Mom's an alto, and Dad's a lead. Then two altos and a lead don't make a trio. Mm-hmm. And one day, when I was 12, almost 13, in my frustration with hearing Pat trying to learn the part, I said, "Pat, this is the way that part goes," and started singing it. And I had not sung around my parents for years because I was terrified they'd know I might could sing a little bit because I was so, you know, enamored with being a surgeon. And when I started singing, my mother starts crying, saying, "Can you just sing with us for a few months till we can find somebody?" What a setup that was.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, they didn't find anybody, as you know. But it was, you know, the early times with them. I was so bashful, Joey. I mean, my knees played their own bongo solo when I would sing. I was terrified. I was such a quiet child, bashful. My world was books, very introverted. And I would have to look about 4 inches above everybody else's heads on the stage, you know, acting like I'm looking at them because I was so terrified. And those early years were tough. I mean, we were trying hard to, you know, we weren't trying. It's so funny because people say, "How did you make it?" I said, "We never set out to make it. We set out to bless people. We had to sing. There was a song in our heart, and that quickly became my passion, too. But my folks never set out. When Mother started writing songs, she didn't even know what a publishing company was. She didn't know there was such a thing as royalties. You know, it was just about sharing Jesus with the world. That was our heart. And it was great, you know.
Well, I can tell you, actually, the first time I heard about your group was my uncles were Pentecostal preachers. In fact, I think we all started off in the same denomination as you folks. So, you know, so that's how I originally heard of the Rambos. And, you know, since then, I've been such a fan. And, you know, there's two songs that we're going to go back in time. We're going to go back to yesterday, folks. So if you're sitting at home, I want you to kick back, get some iced tea or lemonade or a cup of Joe, no pun intended here, and take a listen. We're going to listen to some vintage Rambo. And the first song that I'm going to play is one that I remember so well. "He Looked Beyond My Faults."
The
second one will be "New Shoes."
Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise, for it was grace that bought my liberty. I do not know just why he came to love me so. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. I shall forever lift mine eyes to come for me. How much
beyond my fault and so my
tell you, Reba, I can vividly remember playing that last song, New Shoes, on my cassette recorder in my car driving down the highways around Northern California in the Bay Area, feeling lifted up. I think I was in my own little world for a while, and people were passing me up in the car lanes while I was singing and driving, and most wondered, hey, what's up with this guy? And I remember one time I was headed to a television taping in Modesto, California, and that's about 2.5 hours away from the Bay Area. And I kept playing that song over and over again. And honestly, I think I made it quicker in that 2.5 hour drive playing New Shoes. Honestly, I thought the tires of my cars had some new shoes on, and I was soaring down that road singing. So that song has so blessed me. And really, honestly, I could feel that presence and the anointing of the Lord so strong. And it was such a blessing. Okay, now let's move ahead, and we're in the 21st century, and I understand that not that long ago you did sort of a gospel bluegrass CD entitled Grassroots Rambos. Is that correct?
We did. And let me tell you how that happened, Joey, because it's really interesting. You know, after Mother's untimely death, Mother's Day 4 years ago, now coming up into the fifth year, I can't believe it. But after her death, honestly, for about a year after that, I know I was around because there are pictures to prove it, but I was in such a fog, I was in such shock and the way it happened with the bus wreck and everything. And it was just probably the most difficult year of my life. But after about a year, I got to where I could listen to a thing or watch a YouTube video. Before that, I just couldn't even deal with it. And one day we were here at the house, and the kids were here, Israel and Destiny were here, and we started talking about the early sound of the Rambos, what I talked to you about at the beginning of the interview, about the original organic, mountain kind of sound. And both my kids are, Israel is a video director, has already been nominated for Grammy for one of his videos he directed. And they love all kinds of music, but especially Israel loves kind of the new bluegrass type sound. So we were here, some friends were here, and we just started singing Mama's Teaching Angels How to Sing and Destiny 99. And Angela said, Mom, oh, I just love that. That sounds so great. And we would sit around, and the kids would come over, and we would talk about Mom's songs, and they were asking questions about the songs and the music because they're very familiar with it all. And we would sit on the floor and just sing. This went on for about a year that we would just talk about the stories behind her songs and would sing. And one day Israel said, why don't you guys do a project? I'm like, well, we don't have a label. We don't have anything like that. And Israel said, no, but we've got that little studio in there. Why don't we just do it here? And so we went in and started doing this project, not even really to make a record, but more to have for us, to think, to do something to honor Mom. And what was crazy is some of our friends that are such amazing musicians, like Ben Isaacs with the Isaacs, said, "What? I hear you're doing this. I don't know how word kind of got out. You're doing this part. Can we come just play?" So we're like, sure. And so it started as something that, you know, we just didn't really do for anything except more for healing for us and just had fun with our friends. And then some other friends said, well, you need to put that out. So we finally just did it ourselves, just put it out ourselves. And the silly thing started catching on. And the amazing thing is we won the Bluegrass Album of the Year. How crazy is that?
Yeah, that's just, it's God, and it's amazing, and it's phenomenal. Yeah. And we're going to hear a track from that. And, folks, I'm telling you, I've heard this CD. It is a great CD, and I want you to be able to have an opportunity to pick up that CD. So what you need to do is get on your computer, and you need to get on their website, which is www.rambomaguire.com. And we're going to hear this song right now. I love this song. Remind Me, Dear Lord.
The sea that I love and hold dear to my heart.
Brought me from and where I could
I need to tell you something. When I was picking up these tunes, place in this interview, and I started picking songs from the Grassroots Rambos, let me see if I understand something correctly. This CD only had you and Donnie, Destiny, and your Pa Buck on it. Is that correct?
Right.
Okay, so right. I need to tell you something else. I put that CD in, and I don't know if you've heard this before, but I put that CD in a couple of...
Let me tell you before you say it. You hear my mother.
Oh, my gosh. I did hear your mother. I had... It was something supernatural. I had to take out the CD about three or four times, and I'm like, okay, maybe I just heard wrong. Maybe maybe something's wrong with my ears. Maybe, and I put it back in. And then I also heard you sing a song that I've never heard your sound so much like your mom. There was one tune that you did that I'm like, okay, I heard Dottie there. But I heard her literally singing in the background. And when we were putting this together, I told Jam, and I said, first of all, I liked it so much that I left the CD in my CD player in my car. And then I had given Jammin' all the CDs for him to upload. And then I said, you know what, you're going to be missing this one, and I'll get it to you as soon as possible. I said, but, however, something really amazing happened while I was listening. And he's like, well, what's that? And I told him, and he said, are you kidding me? I said, I'm not kidding you. I had to listen to it about three or four times. I thought I was losing my marbles or something. So obviously other people have told you the same thing.
Oh, it's been so funny. We've been accused. How did you lift her voice from the recordings? Did you go back to the old masters? All kinds of stuff. But let me tell you what was our experience, because we recorded it in the studio in our home. Destiny and I told Donnie, we call him Pops. We said, Pops, you know, let's do the vocals late at night, and Destiny and I can be in our PJs and just be comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So we went in, and we would be singing, 11 o'clock at night, and we started singing. And I could see Des through the dividers, and she and I'd be looking at each other, and Donnie would be looking, and we would literally stop the tape and go, what was that? And I remember me saying, what was that? And Des said, you won't believe what I hear. And I said, well, you won't believe what I hear. And Donnie said the same thing, and it was, we all said, we hear Granddot, because that's what the kids refer to her as. We hear Granddot. And so, I mean, it was the most bizarre thing. And one thing is, you know, somebody had to sing her part, and Destiny and I would alternate, with singing her part. And, as I've gotten older, now that I'm six, as I say, on that part, well, you go, well, maybe there's, but it would happen when I was singing her part, it would happen when Destiny was singing her part. And it was like, y'all aren't going to make a record and me not be on here. So we had so many people, I can't tell you that, I mean, some adamant accusing us, and I'm like, no, there's no way, because our phrasing is different. Some are even in different keys than the Rambos sing them, but it's just one of those things. And, of course, Destiny is such a mixture of mom and of me, and still very much her own person, just an amazing talent with many voices. Destiny has done everything from Broadway shows to commercials to, she has a lot of voices, but It was just really interesting, and of course for me, Joey, it was such a great comfort. I just broke down and would cry and cry and cry when it would happen, and it was just so comforting to me. Like, oh, okay, Mom, it was like, you approve, you're here, you're going to be a part of this with us. And isn't that wonderful how the Lord would allow that to happen?
I'll tell you, it transcended. It went into another. I'm telling you, because I'm pretty sensitive to things of the spirit, and when I was driving, I'm telling you, I had to, and I told Jammin, like I said to you before, I said, this is unbelievable. I literally could sense the Holy Spirit. I could sense the Spirit of God moving, and it was just like, it was almost as if she gave you folks just a present, and just blessed
presence
you.
Presence and permission. It was like a permission. It was just very... It was just one of those things that we probably shouldn't be surprised at, because our God is a supernatural God and we dwell in a supernatural kingdom. But to me, because I had such an open wound about it all, the recording of this project, the singing, all of that was just like, the oil and the wine, as Mother's song talks about. It was oil and wine into those places. and brought me and all of the family. Just the children loved her so much. Of course, Donnie did and had written so many songs with her. And then again, also from my dad. And my dad's 81 now.
Mm.
And for him to come in to sing on that, the songs of the Rambos. And, you know, he can still sing. Isn't it something?
Yeah, he sure
and,
can.
And it was so precious to be in that room with him singing because he has nothing to prove anymore. He just did it because he wanted to. And, of course, he's long retired.
Right.
But he just, you know, it was a real bonding moment for our family and for those involved. I mean, people would just weep. The musicians and the people that would be around, it was almost like if we could have sold tickets to that recording.
So it was like a healing balm, too. And that's, but I know that I was just so moved, but I think the most moving thing was to hear her voice, her parts in there. It just, it was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to let people know again, folks, you need to get this CD. So again, just go to RamboMaguire.com and do it now because, you know, these CDs are great gifts for family and friends and for all those that are fans of Reba and the Rambos. Please go ahead and do that. And you want to add this to your music collection. And I'm getting ready to put on a song right now from Grassroots Rambo CD. And I think your daughter is being featured, Destiny is being featured on this song, and I believe the song is called I Won't Ask for More.
That's it.
Embark on your own career singing more of the popular sounds of the 1970s?
Mm-hmm. That's right. I left the Rambos in 1976.
1976.
Mm-hmm.
And then
it was not really a plan. It just, it's one of those things.
Right. And then at some point, you started to tour with Andre Crouch and the Disciples. Is that correct?
Right. Well, what happened even before I left the Rambos? It was about 1971. You know, it all runs together after a while. But my dad had had 5 heart attacks in 1 year and was told that he could never travel again. And so we had Rambo Music, which was our publishing company, and I had helped work with that. But it was devastating. You know, we were, as a family, so concerned for his health, first of all. And everything, it was just a very dark, dark time. And so I had known Andre and Sandra for a long, long time. And they had come to town to the National Quartet Convention. And Andre had, and I'd gone down there early, and they were there for a couple of days, and we'd hung out and just loved them so much. But I was in a very wounded state. I didn't know what I was going to do or what was going to happen with our family. And I went down there, and at the end of the second night, Andre said to me, he said, look, we're out on this 3-week tour. Why don't you go pack a bag, come back, jump on the bus, and go with us for this tour? Well, we weren't singing or anything, so my folks were like, oh, that's great, honey. And my mother knew how upset I'd been, and she said, you know, you need a break. Dad'll be fine. We've got people to help you. So I went on the bus, supposedly for a 3-week tour. The second night I was with them, the young girl that sang, they only had 2 girls at the time. There was Sandra, Andre's twin, and then Blinky Williams, who's a phenomenal singer. He sang the high part. The second night of the tour, the second day of the tour, Blinky had a phone call, and her child was very sick in California, and she had to fly out. So, I mean, this was right before the second concert, and I was already doing, doing a one solo called Day by Day, and I was singing with her. Their group, just as a fun thing to do. The second concert, after the first song, I'm standing backstage, and only Sandra was the only girl, and the sound just wasn't happening. Mm-hmm. And Andre said, you know, we've got a guest artist, and she's going to come out and sing the set with us. I had never practiced, but thank God I had listened to all their records and knew them backwards and forwards, and walked out on the stage, never had a rehearsal, and took over Blinky's part and stayed almost a year and a half with them.
Wow.
So, it was one of the most life-changing experiences, first of all, because I learned they weren't going to sing with me. I had to learn to sing with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so it stretched me as a vocalist to not just sing the sound of the Rambos, but to sing another music that I loved so passionately and so dearly. It was one of the greatest experiences of my life, Joey.
Mm-hmm. Well, you and I both have a mutual friend. She's passed, but that was the late Danny Bell Hall, who was very much a part of, an intricate part of Andre Crouch. Now, I know Danny Bell was also a friend of yours. Now, thinking back on that, what did she mean to you as a friend?
Are you kidding? Danny Bell was one of those. Because when I was traveling with the Disciples, she would kind of come and go, but I knew her. I got to know her because I actually was living in California to travel with them.
Mm-hmm.
But Danny Bell was the most secure, real. I said she was the original Velveteen Rabbit because she was so real. But she loved people. She was very reminiscent of my mother and how she loved people, you know. Mm-hmm. But she was so real, so authentic, didn't give a rip if the boat never landed. She'd swim.
Yep.
She was going, nothing would faze her. She could march through hell, but she could, and just keep going.
Yeah.
But she was she worked with me as a vocalist, her and Andre, saying, there's more to your voice than that, and really pulled my voice up to another place. But as a friend, oh, my goodness, and we would laugh. I don't think I've ever laughed any more in my life than I did with Danny Bell.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what was interesting, I was traveling with them, but my dad was still having all these heart issues.
Right.
And one night we were going through Nashville, and we were kind of on the schedule, and we were just going to be going through Nashville. And it was about 1:00 in the morning, and Andre came back to the room that Sandra and I shared on the bus, and he said, the Lord spoke to me to go by your parents' home.
Mm.
And I said, okay. He said, get up here and show the driver how to get to your house. So by this time, it's about 1:30 in the morning, the bus pulls up to our house, and I went up, and I had my key, and I opened the door, and my mother was standing there sobbing, and my dad was so sick. And all 14 of us marched off that bus into their bedroom and prayed for over an hour, and the presence of the Lord came in there and healed my dad.
Whoa, so, that is awesome.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
That's amazing.
It was
amazing. That's, yeah.
yeah. Yeah, and then but then what happened, right, and I just fell quickly right after that, he improved so quickly and just got his strength back, and he said to me, honey, we're going to go back, but we want you to do what you need to do. We know you love the disciples and you're having a great time. And I, to be honest, it was very mixed feelings. But I sat and talked with Andre and Sandra and ended up going back with the Rambos. But what happened, very interesting, is the first tours we did coming back, it was the disciples and the Rambos.
Oh.
Danny Bell would ride on our bus. She loved my mom and dad.
Yeah.
And she and I shared a room. And I tell you what, I such great memories, but a woman so funny, but yet so sensitive to the Spirit of God.
Absolutely. I mean, I remember she really gave me one of my first breaks out here and on one of her television shows, Sing Along with Danny Bell. And she was just, and I knew her as a friend, and she used to call me her little brother. And I don't know if that had to do with my height because I'm only 5'7", but she wasn't exactly a jolly green giant either. I mean, she was pretty short herself, but you know, just a wonderful, wonderful person. And she just told me a lot of great stories. And I remember one story she was talking about. She had a conversation with Andre, and she basically said, you know, Andre, I know my success whether I sing in front of one person or whether I sing in front of 30,000 people. I'm a success at that moment because I'm doing what God has me doing at that very moment. And that's always stuck in, you know, in my head. So now I want to ask you a couple different things here. So I know that you're married to Donnie McGuire. I love Donnie. I love his preaching. I love his music. So tell him that
we've been married 32 years. Yes.
How many years?
Can you believe it? 32.
32 years.
Yes. Where did it
really?
Go? Yes.
Unbelievable. That's amazing. Really? 30.
Yeah.
See, now I'm not thinking. See, I, for some reason I thought maybe 20 some odd years, but 32 years. Congratulations.
32 years.
Now,
mm-hmm.
And I know
that, 1980.
Wow. And I know that you pastor this church called The River at Music City in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to know, when you and Donnie have a moment to unwind, or you're just trying to regroup and you need to get away, do you have any favorite destinations that you like going to? Or?
Well, you know what? Donnie is so much fun, and I mean this sincerely. He is my best friend.
Right.
And, you know, the last especially 8 years have been the best years of our marriage.
Mm-hmm.
We both had amazing experiences separately with the Lord that is just too long to go into, but it did something deep in our own hearts. But Donnie, to me, is maybe the kindest, most sensitive person I know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's really funny, Joey, you know, when I married him, he was a drug dealer. Who knew that? A drug addict, a drug dealer. I had no idea, of course. And, you know, the first 2.5 years of our marriage were pure hell. And I actually left him at one point. But then God showed up. I mean, literally Jesus walked in the room and delivered him from drugs in a moment. And it's just been an amazing journey together. But anywhere with him, honest to goodness, we can have fun. We can go, well, we don't really go to McDonald's much since the kids are big. But, you know, we can go pretty much anywhere and laugh and have fun. But we really love Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we love to go there. We love to go to Maui.
Yes.
And that's great because, I mean, water talks to me. Water speaks to me, and I love that. We even love going to Naples, Florida. You know, that's a fun place. We have a lot of friends there. But there have been times we've just rented a little cabin because what's crazy is about the time we unwind, you know, before you know it, there's going to be a song that happens. Especially the last 4 years, we have written more the last 4 years than we wrote the previous 12.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we have been under an open heaven of songs and been writing so much with Bill and Gloria Gaither the last year, especially.
Mm-hmm.
We write with them so much, but it's funny what most people just call it. Let's just go have fun. Well, we get unwound, and then as soon as we kind of get quiet, then here comes the music.
Mm-hmm. Now, that being said, so of course, Hawaii is a great destination for anybody, right? We just
love it for
various reasons. I mean, my mother's family originated from Spain, and when they first came here, they immigrated to the Hawaiian Islands to work in the sugarcane fields. Yeah, and then you know, I've gone there many times to sing and to minister. And it's just a wonderful. I always feel like when I arrive, it's like I'm arriving home, and when I leave, it's like I don't want to leave. So I totally understand that it's such a wonderful place. Now, being that both you and Donnie are very well known, and you're pretty well recognized, can you really go anywhere without people knowing who you are, having seen you, or having heard your music, or does that ever happen to you?
Well, if I don't have my makeup on, they won't know I'm.
Okay.
No. And the funny part is, I'd never go anywhere without makeup, because I wouldn't want to frighten anybody. But you know what? We're blessed that, you know, literally around the world, and we've been so privileged to travel around the world. I don't know if there's been anywhere that we've gone that there's not somebody. And you know, I have to tell you the truth, Zoe. Those people are not fans to me. They're family. They're friends.
Oh, that's
and,
great.
You know, and because you know, they're the one. Every piece of clothing I own, the food on my table, they've been the ones that put it there. So I always love it. I love people. So wherever, you know, when you're in India and they walk up to you and trying to tell you that they sing your songs or whatever, it's so exciting to me. And I just don't. You know, unless somebody's just an absolute jerk, and there aren't that many out there.
Right.
You know, I love it and I appreciate it. And you always have to be aware. You know, my kids know. We talked about it ever since they were tiny. We live in a glass house.
Right.
You know, but that's okay. That's okay. And they just they're very gracious and have learned those kinds of things. And it's all good. Especially when Mother was living, you didn't go anywhere. If you went to Walmart, I mean, oh my goodness. I remember going, this is the truth, this is a funny story. I remember going to Walmart with my mother, because Mother, she would get her days and nights all mixed up, and it was very cold, and she, of all things, wanted to go to Walmart, and it was 2 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, okay, Mom, if you want to go to Walmart, we will go to Walmart.
Yeah.
She's walking around Walmart, because she's such a kid, and here come people. She's got a mink coat on in Walmart, you know, and I'm, because she was cold, and she had her mink on. And I thought, oh my! And here they started lining up. I said, oh my goodness, we are at Walmart at 2 a.m. and you got a line to get autographs.
Oh.
And I mean, it was so funny, but she was so great. She had the most fun. She thought it was all I set up for her. You know,
yeah.
Loved it.
Yeah. Well, now let me also ask you, because seafood is a passion of mine. So I always like to ask people, what's your favorite dish to prepare?
You know what? I am so blessed. I am married to a great cook.
Okay.
Donnie is a great, great cook. But together, we are a force to be reckoned with. We get in there, and I help him, and I prep and do all the things. But he's more of the chef. I have a thing that I do called the writing room, and have a dozen writers come over. And it's a two-day event, and Donnie cooks for us. And I said, you know, I could sell tickets to this thing just for the food, but forget the writing and stress.
Is there one dish that would stand out to you?
Well, you know what? I am very much, you know, I was raised in Kentucky, so I love country cooking. But honestly, we cook a little bit of everything.
Okay.
Donnie makes the greatest lamb. He makes a wonderful steak. But he also, like, I'll give an example. He does turkey in a clay pot. With fresh herbs. Have you ever cooked in a clay pot?
Yeah, fabulous. You know, I think I did once to make some Moroccan dish, I think.
Yeah. Right.
Uh-huh.
But he cooks a lot in a clay pot, and he will experiment with anything. And he's the kind of guy that will go to a great restaurant. There's one here in town. There's several in town we love, but there's one called Brick Tops.
Mm-hmm.
And he will go to Brick Tops, and he'll order something different almost every time, and he'll sit there and he'll even ask, you know, what's that one spice? Or last night we'd gone to friends to dinner with friends at a place called Brio, and they had a fabulous new menu, and we had some very different food last night. But he ended up, the chef was out there talking to him, and he was like, I'm tasting this, I'm tasting that. But what he'll do is come home and replicate it. Yep. Yeah, he's that kind of guy.
You know what? I think I do the same thing. I like, now it's funny. I think my favorite kind of American food would be like steak and potatoes with a good salad. Now anything Italian, because my dad's family is originally from Italy, so I think I cook pretty darn good. So I do a lot of Spanish tapas. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Like paella, different tapas. You need to teach us how to do that.
Yeah, and then
I like it. We've never done it though.
Mm-hmm. And then anything Italian and Spanish I like. So, and then I, of course, ravioli, spaghetti, and Parmesan, all that kind of stuff. So, now you mentioned a restaurant that you went to last night. Now, my next question was, do you and Donnie have a favorite restaurant?
Well, you know, it's really interesting. We have a little place. It's according to what you're talking about. If we're going to eat fried chicken, we're going to the famous Loveless restaurant because it's close to us, the Loveless, which is well known in Nashville.
Okay.
If you want to go fry for fried chicken, because I don't want to go through the mess of it, I'm going to go to Loveless and have some fried chicken and biscuits.
Okay. All right.
But there's the place we went to last night called Brio's. It's Italian, but it's very different.
Okay.
And they always have something, you know, unusual on their menu. But, you know, we love all kinds of food. We really do. And, you know, traveling around the world, you had to develop a little bit more of a sophisticated palate because you had to eat what was set before you.
Right.
If you go to Jamaica and they got curried goat, you eat it. You know, if you go to Curacao and they have fish eyeball soup, you eat it.
Mm.
You go to Africa fish and you don't even question some of the things you eat.
I'm still trying to imagine that fish eyeball soup.
But, and the more eyeballs you have, the more of an honor it is that they've given you more eyeballs, you know, than, you know. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Vietnam during the war when my family sang there for almost 7 weeks and did 4 shows a day. When we were in Vietnam during the war, we didn't even ask what we were eating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just tried to eat it if there was any way at all.
Yeah. Well, when you come out here to California and to the, you know, Pacific Northwest and et cetera, mm-hmm. I'd like to make 2 recommendations. There's, these are my favorites. There's a restaurant in Napa. You're familiar with Napa, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. There's this place. This is one of my favorite places called Bricks, B-R-I-X, and that's in Napa. And it's California cuisine that overlooks a vineyard. That's really good. And then in Washington State, I like good breakfast, you know. So,
I do too.
Yep. In Snohomish, they have this place called Malt Bees Cafe. And I'm telling you, it was rated the best place for breakfast in Seattle. It's the best place. And I knew, so in Italian, I guess my last name is Nardone, but we always say Nardone, right? So I knew I was at home when I was with these friends of mine that live outside of Seattle, and they said, see, Joey, there's even a plate named after you, and it said Nardone plate, and I was like, hey, I'm home. But I have never seen so many people waiting to have breakfast. It is an awesome place. So if you're ever out there, you need to go there. And then in Georgetown in Washington, D.C., for Italian food, a phenomenal place is called Filomena's. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. But there's presidents that have actually eaten there. This place is the best. You can see women making raviolis in the front. Oh, yeah, it's awesome. So if you and Donnie and your family ever are in Georgetown, you need to go to Filomena's.
If I forget the name, I'll be calling you, Joey.
Oh, that's right. So, again, Reba, thank you so much for joining us on Live from the Bay with Joey. And, folks, again, if you want to pick up the music, the CDs, and other happening information, please go to RamboMaguire.com. And let's go out with this song that Reba has made famous. And again, be sure to tune in the following week. This interview is running for a full week. Tune in next week for part 2 of my interview with Reba. So again, this is Joey with Live from the Bay, wishing you a great day wherever you may be hearing this, and all my best. Now here's Reba sending us out with a party.